Well, if you'll take your Bible once again and find 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 5 through 12, we'll continue our Sunday morning AM series, Counter Culture Christianity. We are getting even closer to the very end of this book, the Epistle 1 Corinthians, and I'm excited for that. I'm excited for what we'll be studying next, more on that to come, and follow along as I lead us in reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning verse 5. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother, Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren. But this will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Let's bow our hearts in prayer this morning before we get any further studying his word. Heavenly Father, thank you for the scriptures that we have open before us. We thank you for the lessons and the principles that come from your word. Lord, thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul and others that have gone before us. And for the things that we'll be learning from the text this morning, I pray that you will soften our hearts, that we would receive your word, that we would listen with an ear that is willing and desiring to make application of your word. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. May we use it for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've titled our study this morning, Scheduled by God's Will. Scheduled by God's Will. And as we come to this passage, this wonderful text of Scripture, as I'm reading through the passage in preparation for this morning, sometimes I'll find myself, as we preach through a book like this, like we enjoy doing, and I do often, verse by verse, we come to a portion of Scripture, and you wonder, man, how will that preach? Will that make a good message, or will it take a little extra work? And I tell you that this passage probably seems to be one of those ones where it took a little extra work. But it didn't take me long in studying this passage that I have learned from others and through reading and studying and looking at the text here that there are some great principles, some very applicable lessons for everyone of all ages to learn from this passage. And I'm excited to share those with you now. Very relevant truth from God's already relevant word. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Have you ever been frustrated by a disruption to your plans? Have you ever been discouraged when your schedule didn't work out as you had carefully planned it to? It very well may be that you are frustrated from these things, and that your frustration may come from an incorrect view of how you are to view your schedule in the first place. How you are to view your work and your labors and how you are to view your plans according to God's word. A question that comes from this text that I think is applicable, and by way of inference, a question that is helpful to consider as we study is this. Are you scheduling by God's will? Is your scheduling and your planning leaving room for God's will? Is it guided by God's will? Is it firstly directed by God's will? Last week, we looked at lessons in our stewardship of our income and our finances as it relates particularly to a special offering, a special collection. And we noticed several principles on our regular giving and tithing to the Lord through His church on a regular basis. But this week, we will see that we have a stewardship before God with our plans, with our opportunities, and with even our schedules. Stewardship and giving of finances last week, this week, stewardship in our planning, our schedules, and even our time. So in this little portion of Scripture, there are some wonderful principles found that help us to see the importance of scheduling our lives according to God's will. Paul is really describing how he operates and how he works in the ministry in these verses, verses 5 through 12 of 1 Corinthians 16. And the overarching principle in his ministry can be seen in the very last verse of the preceding chapter. So 1 Corinthians 15, and then if you look at verse 58, you can see the overarching principle that was leading in Paul's life and ministry. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As believers, we are to be laboring in the work of the Lord. These instructions from the Apostle Paul, these verses and others that I'm reading to you, are not just verses for pastors and evangelists and missionaries and preachers and teachers. These are for all Christians. Now, in the immediate context of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it's a common verse that's quoted oftentimes in the context of speaking about pastors and how they are to be found worthy and to be preparing and constantly ready and approved by God, a workman that's approved. But that passage is not for pastors alone. Yes, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, but it carries with it the same meaning and the same responsibility and stewardship that every child of God has. So this abounding in the work of the Lord is further articulated in that passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, where Scripture says, study. By the way, that study there carries with it the idea of being diligent. It's not just pulling the commentaries off the shelf and spending hours studying a text and looking into the original languages to find the meaning and the author's intent. But this study in 2 Timothy 2:15 is being diligent. And so Paul writes to Timothy, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So in other words, Paul is saying, do your best so there is no sense of shame. Do the Lord's work the Lord's way. You know, you and I can put a lot of effort and a lot of work into things, even in ministry, but it can be done incorrectly if it's only the way we believe it should be. Our labor, our work in our Christian lives and our service to our Lord must be done in the Lord's way. So, considering the work of the Lord, considering doing what the Lord desires, living and ministering according to the Lord's will, planning and scheduling according to the Lord's will, with all of these things in mind, the Apostle Paul paints for us a picture and sets himself and several others up as an example in showing us how he and others do the work of the Lord and how he schedules and how he plans and prepares in the ministry of the Lord. So look with me at our text as I draw out some wonderfully helpful principles that are right there in the text for us. I would like for you to firstly notice, number one, Paul's plans. It's very, very simple to notice that he is giving his plans here. And we see this in verses 5 through 9, Paul's plans. Firstly, under Paul's plans, we see Paul's plans were scheduled by God's will. This is what Paul is communicating when he is sharing his plans. And I'll show this to you. It becomes very clear as you read through the text. Paul's plans were scheduled by God's will. Notice in verse 4, if we back up just a moment, notice in verse 4, and if it be meet, take note of that word, reading from the King James this morning, if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. So you notice in verse 4, if it be meet, that word meet here as we read in the English is carrying the meaning in the original of what is proper, what is worthy, what is fitting. And so if it be worthy, if it be fitting that I go also, they shall go with me, is what he's communicating in verse 4. What Paul is communicating here and what we see from Paul is that he was sensitive to the Lord's best purposes. Sure, he had plans. Sure, he was driven by desires and passion. But he left room and he was remaining sensitive to if it was best, if this is what the Lord's best plan is for me, then I shall do this or do that. So I'm not giving you any guarantee, the Apostle Paul is communicating. I'm telling you what I would plan. I'm telling you what I would like to do, but this is no set in stone guarantee because my schedule is made by the will of God. And so we come to verses 5, 6, and 7, and we see this. Let me point out to you in verses 5 through 7, you notice a certain amount of uncertainty in the Apostle Paul. Notice there it says, it may be, or whithersoever I go, in verse 6. And then in verse 7, you see, if the Lord permit. Do you notice the uncertainty that Paul has? If somebody was to just quickly read through these verses, you might see his itinerary that's laid out. And it certainly is laid out to some extent, but he communicates a certain amount of room for God to work and to change his plans. It may be, whithersoever I go, if the Lord permit. Paul was not making promises he couldn't keep because he knew the Lord may have different plans. And it's not that Paul wouldn't make any plans altogether. It's that he wanted his plans to be in accordance with God's will. And that ought to be our desire. That ought to be our practice as well. Yes, to make plans. Yes, to prepare. But to desire to make those plans and preparations according to the will of God. This kind of scheduling is really countercultural. Why? Because this kind of scheduling is biblical. And let me remind you of that. There's other passages in scriptures in the scriptures that help us to understand this. How this type of thinking, like Paul is portraying here and communicating his plan, is biblical. Therefore, it is countercultural. If you turn in your Bible to James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, I remind you of a well-known passage of Scripture that reminds us of taking into account God's will. James 4, 13 through 15 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that." These verses, it teaches us to take into account the perfect will of God. It's not that we shouldn't ever make plans, friends. Paul scheduled. We see that before us. You make schedules. I make schedules. We make plans. I know plans are kind of different right now during the COVID-19 crisis and pandemic. Sometimes plans are just up in the air whether we like it or not. But I'd like you to consider how Paul did schedule, but that when he scheduled, and as James communicates to us, we should remain sensitive to what God wills in our life. Sometimes we don't always know exactly what God's will is for our life. But nevertheless, we take into account and remain flexible to an extent with what God desires. Another passage in Scripture is Proverbs 16 and verse 9, where Scripture says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Proverbs 16:9 teaches us that the Lord determines our steps. Paul planned, but God directed his steps. And what a wonderful thing it is to have our steps directed by the Lord. What about free will, somebody says? What about free will? If God directs our steps, is there free will? Can we make a decision? Can we decide? Can we alter our course? And Proverbs 19 and verse 21 helps us to understand the answer to that sort of question. Proverbs 19:21 says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." What that passage tells us is that man can and does make plans. But ultimately, God's purposes will prevail. Many of your plans, as well as many of my plans, have not come to fruition. They've changed. But God's purposes, God's plans never change, and they will stand. So, should we make any plans at all? If God's purposes will stand, if God's purposes will remain, why should we even plan at all? Shouldn't we just take every day and every moment as it comes at us? No, I don't think that there's wisdom in not preparing. Should we make any plans at all? Absolutely we should. Yes, the answer is yes. But do so with the understanding that God's plans may be different than ours. And that's okay. That's okay. Actually, no, that's best. God's plans are always best. And praise God when my fallible plans don't work out as I should, but when God's plans and purposes stand and do come to fruition. So yes, make plans. Schedule things with discerning biblical wisdom. Be in prayer before you plan and as you plan. Ask God for wisdom and guidance in making plans, but hold those plans loosely and commit them to the Lord. There is wisdom, there is discernment that is needed in planning biblically and scheduling by God's will. Look at verse 8 for a moment with me. It says, "But I tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." What is Paul saying here? What is he communicating in this relaying of his itinerary to the Christians in Corinth? Well, if you look at the plan Paul had made, his intent was to stay in Ephesus until the Jewish holiday of Pentecost. It says it right there in the text. And Pentecost, I believe, was in his usage of that reference here, as a reference to late spring, a time of year, early summer, late spring to early summer, when he plans to make this move. And so he has this plan, he lays it out, and this is the plan that he seeks to make. So we see already in verses 5 through 8, we see Paul's plans. And specifically in Paul's plans, we see Paul's plans were scheduled by God's will. This is so helpful for us. It communicates a wonderful principle to us in even seeing Paul's plans laid out. But also under Paul's plans, we see in verse 9, Paul's plans were determined by divine opportunity. Paul's plans were determined by divine opportunity. Not only did he take into account God's will, but he took into account the opportunities that God the Father had given unto him for ministry. You and I both have been faced with opportunities. We pray often as a church for opportunities to be a witness, for opportunities to show love and hospitality and care to others. opportunities for placement and employment that best puts us in a position to please the Lord and care for our family. We pray for opportunities. We give praises for opportunities. And Paul communicates that even in his plans, he allowed God's opportunities and God's time as God presented them to shape his plans. Look at verse 9, the first part there. It says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me." A great door and effectual is opened unto me. Paul gives a reason for staying in Ephesus. Why was he held back? Why was he going to stay in Ephesus? Well, he gives a reason. There was a great opportunity. We don't know exactly what that opportunity is in this text alone, but the Apostle Paul nevertheless was presented with an opportunity that God had given him, that he more than likely had not had any idea of before. Hey, look, the Lord is blessing. The Lord is working here and now, and I need to stay here because the Lord is giving me this opportunity. I may have had other plans. He confesses, "I wanted to go unto you. But because the Lord has presented an opportunity to work for here and for me now, I must stay here because God has given me this opportunity." In other words, God had opened a door for gospel ministry in Ephesus that Paul had not yet before seen. And where God opens a door, dear friends, we had better step through. Where God presents an opportunity to his children, we had better step through the threshold of the door of opportunity that the Lord has given. Christian, when God presents you with an opportunity, you have a stewardship that requires your obedience. When God presents an opportunity, we must take that opportunity and we must be obedient with that opportunity, whatever it may be. And we can be certain it's of God through prayer and comparing with Scripture and even seeking wise, mature Christian counsel on those opportunities to be certain. But if we pray for opportunities, be ready to step through them, however and whatever they are, as the Lord presents them. Let's continue verse 9 here and notice something else. Verse 9, the second half. "And there are many adversaries." Many adversaries. Now, wait a minute. The Lord presents an opportunity, an open door. We're obedient. We step through that open door. And then, like Paul says, there are many adversaries. So although there were opportunities, it was like a two-edged sword in the sense that there was great opportunity in one part and that there were adversaries that came with it. You know, there's a great principle again here for us to understand, a great reality. Just because there's a divinely open door in front of us does not mean there is a guaranteed absence of difficulty. Let me say it a different way. The presence of opposition doesn't mean we are out of God's will. It doesn't necessarily mean that. Just because an opportunity arises for ministry, just because an opportunity arises to do the Lord's will, and as we take that opportunity, whether it be a new employment or moving or stepping up to the plate with a ministry that you had not yet before served in, whatever the opportunity might be, as the Lord presents that opportunity and we go that route and step through that door and then we're immediately faced with opposition and the adversary, it does not necessarily mean that that was the incorrect path. The presence of opposition doesn't mean necessarily that we are out of the will of God. Christian, it is this way in our service to the Lord today, just like as Paul was facing in Ephesus. You can count on pushback from the adversary whenever you commit to and begin to serve the Lord through the opportunity he presents. I can think back over my life and since my call to pastoral ministry at the young age of 15 years old, I can remember going all the way through high school and then entering into Bible college and studying for the ministry and coming home on the summers. And I can tell you right now that sometimes coming home on the summer and that time off from Bible college or classes in seminary or whatever, that it was that time off and that time away where it seemed like I had the most difficult time with temptation to be distracted with things other than preparing for the ministry. Listen, Christian, what I'm trying to communicate is that it is not all that abstract that when you commit to doing the Lord's will and you commit and purpose to walk according to the Lord's plans, that you will be faced with temptation and opposition. Just because it's the Lord's will is not a guarantee that it's an easy breezy path to obedience. Whenever you do the work of the Lord, you will be met with the enemy of the Lord. Listen, if the Lord is leading you to do a specific work for Him, do not take it lightly, because you will face opposition. You will face great difficulty. I heard another recently in preparation for this morning, quote, G. Campbell Morgan, and I do the same. G. Campbell Morgan once said, if you have no opposition in the place you serve, you're serving in the wrong place. Let me say that again. Let these words sink in. I think there's great truth in this. I appreciate what Campbell Morgan said here. If you have no opposition in the place you serve, you are serving in the wrong place. I think that kind of brings into reality, brings things back down to a level plane where we can grasp, for us to understand that when we serve the Lord, when you set out to do right, you will face opposition. And here in Paul's simply laying out his itinerary as he's led by the Holy Spirit, here is a great principle and a lesson for us to keep in mind as we take the opportunity the Lord gives us. You see, the Apostle Paul's plans were shaped and they were guided by the opportunities that the Lord divinely placed before him. And you need to see that Paul wasn't afraid of the adversary, but he wasn't ignorant of the adversary either. He wasn't afraid, but he wasn't naive and ignorant to the adversary. The Lord's work isn't painless, but God is with us all the way through. Now, let me just say this. If you are desiring of an opportunity to serve the Lord, if you feel that you must be doing more, that there's a specific area that the Lord would have you do, and you feel strongly and passionately that the Lord is leading and pointing you in a specific direction of serving Him, if you're looking for open doors, you need to know that you don't have to search for open doors. And that might sound a little bit to the opposite of what I've been saying so far, but let me reiterate here. If you're searching for opportunities to serve the Lord and you feel as the Lord is leading you in a direction, you don't need to push and search and kick doors open. Instead, here's what you need to do, and the Lord will make His will clear in your life. Simply, Christian, simply obey the Lord now, and He will make those doors clear to you. Don't get caught up in manipulating doors open. Don't get caught up in trying to manipulate circumstances and people and situations to force and push yourself in. Dear Christian, if you're in that position where you're looking to take opportunity to push past and rush ahead of the Lord, you don't need to do that. You're only going to mess things up and make things more difficult or get ahead of the Lord's plan altogether. Simply be patient. Obey Him the best that you can. Serve Him faithfully where you are right now, and the Lord will make those open doors you were to step through very clear and very evident in your life. Don't push ahead of the Lord. Instead, let the divine determination of the Lord's opportunities in your life direct your planning. So Paul's plans, verses 5 through 9, we see Paul's plans were scheduled by God's will, and Paul's plans were determined by divine opportunity. But secondly, this morning, we see in verses 10 through 11, we see faithful committed service. Several examples of this. Faithful, committed service. Notice the example of faithfulness that Paul sets up, verses 10 and 11. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. Notice the example of faithfulness that Paul sets up here. Paul is saying Timothy's faithful service is worthy of their following. It's worthy of their respect and their honor. And Timothy is doing the same work as of the Apostle Paul. He's doing the same work of the Lord. He is ministering and laboring faithfully to the Lord. Regardless of his age, regardless of his lack of experience, he was doing the work of the Lord. He was called of the Lord. And so Paul exhorts the Christians in Corinth to receive him. You see, age didn't matter to the Apostle Paul as much as a faithful testimony of obedience to the Lord. You know, there seems to be many more dreamers and planners than there are faithful, committed servants. It seems like as you look across the landscape of Christians in the church today, there seems to be more that are willing to give ideas and have an answer and here's how we can do better and if I could only do this and if you only use me here and so on and so forth. There seems to be a whole lot more of those than there are of those who are faithfully committed to serving God where they are as opportunities present themselves as they do not force them. Faithful, committed servants. Those are the ones that are going to be used of the Lord in later and greater things. The present, it's been said before, the present is a proving ground in one's service to the Lord. What I mean by that is, what are you doing now? Are you pushing God's plans? Are you trying to force what you desire? Or are you patiently waiting for the Lord to provide opportunity? Timothy is set up as an example as one who is faithful in the ministry and is to be received and is to be heard and is to be respected regardless of his age, regardless of his experience. God's man for the people there. A faithful, committed servant is an obedient, diligent worker right now with what and where the Lord has given them, him or her. In Matthew 25 and verse 23, consider the parable of the talents, where the master says to the faithful servant, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." In other words, faithfulness now, where you presently are, affords you the right to serve at another level in the future. Dear Christian, are you faithful now in the present, or simply dreaming of a greater and better future of service? Paul commands the church to respect Timothy for his faithfulness, to respect Timothy for his committed service to the Lord. Can that be said of your life and of your example? Any one Christian in any position or status in life, can that be said of you? Well done, thou faithful, good and faithful servant. Paul commands the church to respect Timothy, sets Timothy up as an example. And that is the same response the church is to have towards those who are faithful in the Lord's service. Are you respectful? Are you following? Are you listening to? Are you heeding the words of God's faithful servants as they relay truth from God's word to you? Thirdly, we see another example here, and Thirdly, in verse 12, we see a principle here taught of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's leading. Look at verse 12. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. After literally encouraged, being literally encouraged by Paul to go to Corinth, Apollos' determination was not to go to Corinth. There's a great amount of a lesson in this for us. Listen, the Apostle Paul exhorted Apollos to go to Corinth. And Apollos, who is mighty in the Scriptures, we read about in Acts, who is a man of God, who is faithful, he was humble as he had others teach in his life and how to become a better expositor of God's Word. He had a following in the first part of 1 Corinthians for wrong reasons. He had people that followed him. He was popular to many. Apollos, nevertheless, a good and faithful man. And here Apollos responds to the Apostle Paul with no. No, I don't believe it's best for me to go to Corinth. I will not be going to Corinth. It's not my will to do so. We see this in verse 12. That gives me pause for a minute to hear about somebody who would say otherwise to the Apostle Paul. Oh, but notice how Paul responds to Apollos' will. This is interesting because in the encouraging of Apollos to go to Corinth and to help out, Apollos sees otherwise and makes a decision otherwise. Why? I'm not exactly for sure. I think there are a number of speculations that could be made. Maybe it was the very fact that there were those who sought to follow after Apollos or Paul or Christ and so on that we see in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And maybe because of this reason, he felt it wouldn't be wisest for him to go, as he would not be listened to by all or for the right reasons. I'm not exactly sure. I don't know that the Scriptures are clear. I haven't found yet for them to be clear to give reasoning why he wouldn't. It may be possible that Apollos did not want to make things worse or more divisive in the church there amongst the certainly immature Christians. You need to remember that Apollos was a mighty man in the Scriptures. He was a humble man of God. And although there's no detail or reason for Apollos' decision, we also see that there is no wrongdoing in Apollos' decision to not go to Corinth at that time. Notice that you, let me point out, sometimes this helps, let me point out to you something that we do not see in this passage, in this decision that Apollos made. Notice what you don't see from Paul at this point. What you don't see is Paul throwing his weight around and pushing Apollos around in the ministry. You don't have the Apostle Paul pulling the Paul card here and saying, now I have exhorted you to go to Corinth and you need to get up and you need to get moving and get over there and help those Christians. Rather, what I think we see here in this text is the Apostle Paul demonstrating a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit leading differently than what he knew in another faithful believer's life. We need to practice also a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's leading. He could have driven the bus over Apollos and written in a letter, you know, I told Apollos to go to Corinth and he didn't and he defied me, so therefore I will no longer do ministry with him. Rather, you see Apostle Paul seeing a godly man making a decision that he claimed was according to God's will otherwise, and he very graciously and he very diplomatically noted Apollos would come when he had the time to do so. Christians, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in each other's lives. This doesn't mean just a clean bill of whatever anyone else wants to do with no comment, no regard, and no counsel. But we do need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in each other's lives. Don't be too quick to push another into what you think is right, but rather encourage them to plan and to schedule according to God's will. I'm not talking about when we see someone who's clearly contradictory to Scripture, but I'm talking about how each and every one of us is as possessing what we refer to as the priesthood of the believers. We have the responsibility and the privilege as individual Christians to make decisions before the Lord as we interpret the Scriptures and God's leading in our lives. And we need to be sensitive to that right in other believers. You've got to be sensitive to the Lord's leading in others' lives as much as we need to be sensitive to the Lord's leading in our lives. Wonderful principles from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. As we draw this to a conclusion here this morning, Christian, if you're going to be found faithful in the Lord's work and live according to God's will, you will need to be flexible and sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life. Maybe you need to right now go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you need to go to the Lord in prayer right now and ask Him to reschedule your plans that you have made. Maybe you need to ask the Lord to help you reorganize in your spiritual planner, reorganize priorities and opportunities in your life that will then align with God's sovereign will. I pray these biblical examples and principles help us to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, Lord in heaven, help us to schedule and to plan by your will. Dear Lord, help us to learn from and follow the examples of men like the Apostle Paul, like Timothy, like Apollos, men who were moved by the Holy Spirit and planned according to God's will. Help us to be sensitive to your word this morning, Lord. Help us to seek to implement these tremendously applicable counterculture principles from your word. Do a great work in and through our lives, Lord. May we be found faithful, abounding in the work of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.